This week, we are continuing our series on baggage, and if you haven't noticed, it's getting a little more interesting, me bringing every piece down. Thankfully, next week is the last one, because I'm not sure how many more of these I can actually make work. So, let's see. When we talk about baggage, we're not talking about just these bags. Every week when we've talked about baggage, what we've talked about is the baggage that we don't want in our world is anything at all, that hinders us from being the kind of people God's called us to be. Anything that we hold on to, anything that we carry around, anything that we keep on trugging with, that keeps us from being the people God's called us to be, that's baggage that we need to get rid of. The first week, the baggage we talked about was fear. We talked about how fear paralyzes us and keeps us from being the people God's called us to be. That if we have fear in our world, it can keep us from stepping out and doing the things God called us to do. The next week, we talked about... make sure where I put all these. Next week, we talked about past sin. And past sin could be things that you have done in your past or things that you have inherited from generations before. But past sin, those things that sometimes we define ourselves by those things when in reality God wants to use even those things to minister to us and to minister to others. Some of those things that you think are baggage that are keeping you down, that either you have done or have come through your family line, God wants to use those to minister to you and to minister to those in the world. Last week, we talked about unmet expectations, that for many, we have set up this reality of what the world's going to look like, of what life is going to look like, and when those expectations aren't met, suddenly it's baggage. That person isn't doing what I thought they were going to do, or I am feeling the baggage because somebody else was expecting something from me that I'm not able to do. That unmet expectation can serve as baggage that holds us down. Now, obviously, and I've told you this, these three are just about as generic as you could possibly be. I mean, it's like me putting a thing up here that says sin. Of course, you know, this could mean anything for you. And there's a reason for that, because each of us are in different situations. Each of us, this speaks to us in different ways. This week, however, we're going to do something a little more concrete. And we've already talked about it a little bit, but this week, we're talking about, oh, look, and I broke it. We're talking about money. Now, here's where some of you check out, because here's a preacher talking about money. Outstanding. Because when you have been to churches where preachers talk about money, here's what you get. You get, and not every church, and not all the time, but there's enough to where you will probably know this. You get emotional manipulation, where God's going to make you feel bad so that we can meet our bottom line budget. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. Remember, baggage is anything that keeps you from being the person God's called you to be. And here's why we're doing money. We're doing it for several reasons. Here's number one. Because there are people, and if I say something that touches on you, it's not because I'm preaching to you. I'm just touching on all of these things, and I'll explain that in a little bit. So that could be the Holy Spirit, not me. There are people who think about money all the time. That's all they think about. And this doesn't mean you're rich. There are plenty of poor people who think about money all the time. Every day. Everything you do is filtered through money. Now, obviously, you can go so far the other extreme that you don't ever, well, I just like to buy this car. It looks pretty. But there are some people that come over here to this side, and every single thing that they do has a dollar sign attached to it. when that keeps us from being the people God's called us to be, that's baggage. Here's the second way money can be baggage. If you are in a financial situation where you can't do what God's calling you to do, what if, for example, God wants you to quit your job and to take a job that pays less money? Are you in a financial situation where you can do that? Are you in a financial situation where you could quit your job and go do mission work in Africa? Are you in a financial situation where that would be possible? See, God may be all for it, but Visa may not. And so money for us, if it's keeping us from being the person God's calling us to be, our financial situation, the money, can be baggage. Here's the third thing. In our culture and in our world, we are saturated and seeped into over and over and over and over again, there's this message that gets presented. If I have enough money, everything will be okay. If I just get enough money, everything will be okay. You know, the definition of rich is anybody who has more money than you do. You know, if I just have more money, everything will be okay. When you start to carry that message around, that's baggage. And here's the fourth reason. Because for me, this is baggage. Money for me is something that I struggle with all the time. And since I get to stand up and talk, I get to depict what's baggage. And so we are going to talk about money because for me, that is one of my pieces of baggage. And see, baggage makes you do things that are crazy and makes you think things that are crazy. You want an example? If you were here, even if you were in the area, but especially if you were here during end of December, beginning of January, you remember it snowed just a bit? We missed a Sunday because of the snow. And every time you talk to any stewardship person about missing a Sunday at church, the very first, you can't even get it out of your mouth before they say, you're never going to make that money back. Thank you. That's helpful for me. I appreciate that. You're never going to make that money back. You're absolutely right. I already, with money being my baggage, I internalize that. And I'm not picking on, I think it's Joe, I don't know, Terry's here. Yeah, Les isn't here, but not picking on you guys. But enough people have said that to me in the past. Money's already my baggage. I'm already worried about that, okay? I've been here start of November, so a month and a half, almost 2 months now, and we miss a Sunday, okay? That's a little panicky, but, you know, you just swallow it. Well, the next week, it snows again. You remember? And we were about to have to be canceled for a second week in a row. And literally, that Saturday, as I'm watching the snow come down, I'm pacing in the house, pacing. And Sarah is just watching. Going back and forth. She said, "What is wrong with you?" And I said, "This is it." And she said, "What's it?" "This is it. We're done." "What do you mean?" "We're going to miss a second week in a row. There's no way they're going to be able to make budget. I'm the biggest thing on the budget. They're going to have to fire me." I promise you. I'm, you know, where you're not yelling at the person, but you're yelling because you're all like jacked up in the emotion. They are going to have to fire me. We just got here. We have a baby. What on earth are we going to do? And my loving pastoral care gifted wife looked at me and went, "You have lost your mind." She said, "You have lost your mind. Do you," and we'll get into a little bit later of what she wound up saying to me. But for me, money is baggage. And my thought would be that for many of us, money is baggage as well. And thankfully, even 2,000 years ago, Jesus had wise words on money that we need to hear today. So if you would turn with me to the Sermon on the Mount, in the middle of it, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to this one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Would you pray with me? God, may these ancient words be new and fresh and living in our heart today. Help us to hear your message. In Christ's name, amen. So let's begin with that last powerful part. Two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. And here's how the world's set up. God has given you the freedom, I believe, so that you can choose to do whatever you want. You can serve nobody. You can serve yourself. You can serve God. You can serve money. You can serve football. You can serve sports. You can serve school. You can serve your job. You can put your time and efforts and energy. And here's what I mean by serve. When we serve something, we do it because we think it's going to provide the best outcome at the end. We serve something that we think will provide the best for us. So, when we choose to serve money, what we believe is that with enough money, I will have the best possible life and outcome for my family, for me, and for everybody around me. As Christians, there is kind of one correct answer here of who we choose to serve. If you are going to follow God, then what we have, the public statement we have said is that we are going to serve God above anything else. So, if that's a stumbling point for you, then we can talk about that later. But let's just assume that we all decide that we're okay with serving God first as a Christian. That's what we want to do. Okay. So now the question is, do we really serve God first? Well, of course we do. I mean, this is a loaded question, right? And you know, of course we do. Well, let me ask you a question. What if you heard God telling you that God wanted you to sell all the extra cars in your household and just have one car? Because God wants you to use that extra money to go and help who Angela talked about wasn't, you know, that family that's not able to have running water, God wants you to pay for them to have running water. Well, see, it gets a little complicated then, because we have all these things that we do, and we have these places we need to go, and we can't do it all if we only have one car. Well, what if God says that, you know, that little bit of extra you have a month, maybe 37 cents of extra or whatever it is in your world a month, that's our splurge money, that's our fun money, that's what we go out to eat with, that's what we do fun things with. God wants you to send that to an orphanage in Africa because that will literally put food in empty bellies. Well, I know that's a good thing, but I mean, this is the only, I mean, we work hard, and this is the only money we have left over. God wants you to sell your house and use that money to serve the poor. Okay. God, you're getting a little serious here. Let's just pull back a little bit, okay? I mean, I was right now going to use an example in my sermon about what if you inherited $100 million? You know, what if you inherited $100 million and you were able to do anything you want with it, but God told you to give it away? But Sarah was very helpful with feedback on this. She said, you know, if that if that example, I think I could more easily give it away because it wasn't mine to begin with. You know, it just came in, and then I could just send it right back out. At least I think I could. But what if it's from your paycheck that you work too hard for? Or from your retirement that there's not an unlimited amount? Or what if it's from the little pool that you have that you're surviving on? Do you really serve God above money? And don't hear me preaching at you. Hear me preaching toward all of us, because this is the challenge for me as well. We can choose to serve whatever we want, but if we believe serving God is best, and Jesus says you can't serve both, you can serve God or you can serve money, and if some of us find ourselves more over in this camp, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Because we know we're supposed to be over on that side, right? And yet, if we're honest, we tend to be over here a little bit. So, what are we going to do? Earlier in the passage we just read, Jesus says, "Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." I don't think there's anybody here who would disagree with the statement that the more stuff you have, the more stuff that can go wrong with it. Is that a fair statement? Yes. We just bought a house. Guess what? This past week I went outside and there's a big swimming pool in my front yard. And I go, that wasn't there when we bought the house. And John Hsu goes, yeah, I think there's water leaking, and you need to call John Muckenfuss. And John Muckenfuss comes over and goes, yep, sure enough, there's water leaking. And John Muckenfuss, both Johns have been amazing and helpful, but you know, we, on faith, kind of bought this house. I mean, this is stretching our budget, but we believe this is where God put us, and we have prayed a lot about this. And now we have a geyser in our front yard. And does the home warranty that we put money into cover this? No. Does anything else cover this? No. This one's on us, buddy. So, the more stuff you have, obviously, the more stuff can break down, the more stuff people want to take from you. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth. Man, isn't that a good preachy term? Like, that's something that I would say on Sunday morning, store up for yourselves treasures on heaven, and then say amen, and you'd go home and go, I don't really know what that means. You know, I mean, how does that even make sense in everyday terms? Well, here's how it makes sense. The Apostle Paul had a lot of these same questions and dealt with some of them. You can either listen or follow along with me. I am going, flipping into the New Testament, into 1 Timothy chapter 6. So you can either listen or follow along with me. The Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy, talking to his guy that he has been mentoring. Paul's in prison and is looking at the death penalty, thinks he's going to die, and wants to make sure that Timothy knows all the things that he needs to know. So he is telling him how best to make church work. Okay? So if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, command those who are rich in this present world. And in Paul's time, rich would mean that you have enough clothes for you, enough food for your family, and a little bit extra. Okay? So don't think you get out of this, most of you. Enough clothes for you, enough food for your family, and a little bit extra. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, amen, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them, now listen, here we go, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. You know, sometimes we have to stretch stuff to make it fit, but when it uses the same words, it kind of beats you over the head, right? How can we lay up treasures in heaven? Paul says, do good deeds and be generous, willing to share. Do good deeds and be generous, willing to share. I'm not okay just beating you over the head and saying, listen, you all money grubbers, you love money more than God, get right. Don't hear me say that. Or don't hear me say just that. I guess you can hear me say that, but don't hear me say just that. What God wants for us is to be over here. Not out of guilt, not out of obligation, but because God doesn't want us to put our hope, to put our treasure, to put all of ourselves into stuff that breaks down, stuff that is uncertain, stuff that is not eternal. Instead, God wants us to store up treasures that will not ever go away. How do we do that? Well, I have a couple of ideas. The first idea about how do you not let money be one of your pieces of baggage is very difficult, so you may want to prepare for it. Give it away. Did you catch that? The money you have, give it away. Whatever you feel like God is calling you to give. Now, I hope that you feel like what we do here is important. I hope that you know that we are doing our best, those who are in leadership here, to continue the tradition of this place in touching and reaching the neighborhood and in transforming our world for Jesus. And if you want to give, I hope you will give here. But this is something you're not going to hear a pastor say very often. Even if you don't give here, I want you to give. Even if you don't give here, I want you to give. Because it's not just about making sure we make budget. It's about you and your relationship with God and money. When you give it away, you are making a bold statement that God is who you serve, not money. In Luke 18, a young man came to Jesus and said, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, and the young man kind of prefaced it by saying, listen, I've kept all the commandments. I've done all the right things. I've done all the actions I'm supposed to do. And Jesus said, fantastic, just one more thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. It's the story of the rich young ruler. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And the young man went away weeping because his love for money was more than his love for God. This is a harrowing and frightening tale to me, but it is scripture and it is truth that I need to speak into my world. So the first thing is give some of it away. The second thing that we do is if you are in debt, work to get out of it. You don't need the fancy new fill in the blank. Work to get out of it. There are all kinds of programs that can help you, that can help you set up budgets, that can help you make priorities, that can help you get out of being handcuffed by the desire to live the American dream and have the newest and biggest and best and latest. It's not God's desire. It's putting more money in stuff than in God. Again, you don't want to see my bank account because it is a barren and empty place full of tumbleweeds that go through. This is me preaching to me. Work to get out of debt. And the last thing, focus on serving God and doing good deeds. Just like Paul talked about, be generous and willing to share and do good deeds. God is calling us to transform our world by being transformed ourselves. Talk about a countercultural message. When you say that money's not the most important thing, you are now speaking something most people have never heard before. Because everything, for a lot of people, is about money. But God wants us to be free of that baggage. God wants us not to be handcuffed by a desire, a love, a passion to just collect more and more and more and more. The Romans had a proverb that said, money is like seawater. The more you drink, the thirstier you become. The more you drink, the thirstier you become. My hope and my prayer for me and for you is that today we would begin the process of starting to drink real water and not continuing to guzzle that seawater. God doesn't want money to be baggage, because God has too many important things that we are supposed to be doing. There are too many people that need to hear the gospel. There are too many people that need our help. We have too much to do to let this slow us down. Hear the good news. God has fresh, living water for you. God wants you to store up your treasures in a place and by doing things that will not ever go away. Moth and rust and thieves destroy all of these things. God wants something better. Would you pray with me?